So a month ago when I was preaching, as I was preaching that message, God was like, you need to come back and preach Glory Carriers. The title of the message is Glory Carriers, by the way. Glory Carriers. That God was like, you need to come back. You need to preach Glory Carriers. Because it is important that people hear this word in this season. Because we are running into a season of exposure. That I was talking to my brother-in-law on the way down here, that people have been saying the quiet part loudly. The things that have been in secret, the secret desires of men have been broadcast broadly to the point to where you can't hide no more. And as we are preparing for what God has for the Christian church next, because I feel and believe that something's coming. I know y'all, there's something in the air. There's something about to pop off. And God's been dealing with me during this time of transition for my church. Because as I stated earlier, we're not just changing our name, we're changing everything. Because we have to prepare for what's coming next. The old model doesn't work. But in that change, we cannot change because it is fashionable. We have to change because God has said it. So we have to remember who we are in God, that we are not called to just sit here and stare at each other on Sundays for an hour, maybe 2 hours, if the Lord says so. We're not called to just be watching TBN and CBN and listening to the radio preachers and the podcast, and then we do nothing with it. So I want to talk about something that God has been expressing to me over the years. And when God spoke this to me in 2019, the first time, it rocked me. And I said, oh, we're going to talk about this. So I want you to go with me to 2 Peter. Not 1 Peter, we're going to go to the sequel. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say hold up. Hold up. Glory to God. All right, I'll be reading. I'll be switching up versions, so I'll call it out. So I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Your interpretation may be different from the one that I am reading, but the word says this: Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. Everybody say glory and virtue. But this is why I love preaching here, because y'all talk back, amen? By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we're going to look at glory and virtue. When you hear the word glory, many people have been taught in the Christian experience that glory is everybody shouting, speaking in tongues, hollering, and all that stuff. Oh, the glory of God is here. So our body responds to the glory. Let me tell you what the glory is. This is what messed me up. Glory in verse 3 comes from the Greek word doxa. D-O-X-A, if you're of the note-taking sort, D-O-X-A. Doxa means opinion, judgment, view, estimate, whether good or bad concerning someone, splendor, brightness, majesty, magnificence, grace, or a most glorious condition, or exalted state. Glory is God's opinion of you. When we say we want the glory of God, we're saying we want God's weight, God's approval, God's yes. God's weight, God's approval, God's yes. Because the glory of God, when the glory of God really drops, it's an affirmation that you are in his will, that your heart is where it's supposed to be. And so that way he is able to use you and you will obey. The doctor fell in the upper room because they had spent, I was talking to my sister about this, that if you do the math of Pentecost, Jesus was down here for 40 days, and it wasn't an additional 50 days, it was 10 days. So they spent 10 days after Jesus went up. They knew something was coming, but they had no idea what it was. They knew something was coming. Jesus said, if I stay down here, I cannot be with you. If I stay down here, the next thing, the thing that you're going to need to move forward cannot be here. So I'm going to come up, but I'm coming back. I got to go up so the next thing, the power that you're going to need is to come down. So instead of going about their lives, they locked 120 folk, locked themselves in a room. And they prayed. And they prayed in one place and in what? One accord. Of the same mindset. Sometimes in church, it feels like herding cats in the spirit. Because everybody come in, we all in the same building, but we all of the same mind. Powerful moves of God happen when people come to the realization that my humanity has nothing to do with God's power and God's divinity. So if we're coming in here, if we enter his gates with thanksgiving, if we enter his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and what? Bless his name. If we magnify the Lord and exalt his name together, and we come together just like we did during praise and worship, because most people, when the technology don't work, they look like, huh? But the mission that we all have, we're going to give God his due. And if the iPad don't work, my mouth does. So we came here together from the four corners of the region, from Lancaster, from Reynoldsburg, from Athens, from down the street and around the corner. And we came together because we desired a move of God. And what happened, because we worshiped from our heart, the glory showed up. God's weight, God's approval, and God's yes. Virtue in this context is the Greek word arete, A-R-E-T-E, arete, meaning a virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action, or any particular moral excellence as modesty or purity. By glory, by his weight, his approval, by his truth, by his mind, by his heart. Because you can't have his glory. You can't get his approval if you don't have his mind. If you don't have his heart. If you are not rooted and grounded, steadfast, unmovable, always what? Abounding in the word of God. If you are not grounded on the foundation of who God is, you can't see the glory. Because glory is reserved for those who are in alignment with him. I don't know why I'm preaching this hard today, but we just let God do what he needs to do. We have people who are in the body universal, who come into the room on every Sunday. They're the first one at the door. And they sit there and God is moving and they're like, what's all this? But then from the time they leave the parking lot to the time they come back the next Sunday, it's because their lives are not exuding the truth of who God is. Because then we're gonna have some conversation. Because people come in and I have ADHD. I'm not saying that's not like, oh, I have it. Like, we got the diagnosis, I got my papers. Amen. I love you, mother. where was I going? See, squirrel. So here's the thing. With me, I have to be able to understand who I am to be able to function freely. I have to understand who I am. Help me, Holy Ghost, to be able to function freely. And I have to be grounded on something. Because if I don't allow myself to be grounded on something, I'm just going to be flitting all over the place. For me, I have to be able to be all right, look, my brain is just raining. Let's rein it in. We got to get this done. It's the same thing in household faith. People be flitting and flopping all around, going to this conference, that conference, his conference, her conference, their conference, here conference, their conference, everywhere, conference, going to everybody else's churches, bouncing, they're doing double dutch because they're not rooted and grounded. People be like, pray for me, I need to pay my rent, but you done went to 5 conferences trying to find something that has been sitting in your church the entire time. Go somewhere and sit down. Well, we have to receive the glory. We have to be able to stand in his truth. That's where I was going. So we have all these people who are going into the church. They hear the word. The preacher could be in jeans and some sneakers and a t-shirt. That will be me next Sunday. Amen. I know my dad's going to be like, why are you wearing jeans and t-shirt? Because I have to hop on a flight right after, so you're going to get me as I am. And they're standing there, and they might be going, the Lord loves you. And then you might get that old school preacher with the puffy robe. Like, the Lord. I can hoop. I just choose not to. Amen. And they're getting all this. They're hearing the word, but they're not rooted and grounded in it. But they see the move of the Holy Spirit. And they're like, I want some of that. So we don't talk about Simon Peter. Can we talk about another Simon? Pastor like, oh, I know where he's about to go with this. He's like, I already know. Let's go to the book of Acts. Y'all saw the look. He was like, I know exactly where he's about to go. The 8th chapter, Acts, the narrative of the early church, part 2 of Luke. I tell people, if you want to read the Gospels, you do Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, then Acts, so that way you get the aftermath in real time. So, we're going to talk about glory chasers versus glory carriers. Acts 8, verses 9 through 24. And this section will be from the Christian Standard. Let's read. A man named Simon had previously practiced sorcery in that city and amazed the Samaritan people while claiming to be somebody great. They paid attention to him, from the least of them to the greatest, and they said, this man is called the great power of God. They were attentive to him because he had amazed them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Even Simon himself believed. And after he was baptized, he followed Philip everywhere and was amazed as he observed the signs and great miracles that were being performed. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. After they went down there, they prayed for them so the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit, because he had not yet come down on any of them that had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also. Give me this power also so that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter told him, may your silver be destroyed with you because you thought you could attain the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this matter because your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, your heart's intent may be forgiven. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by wickedness. Pray to the Lord for me, Simon replied, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Over the past few decades, we have created a culture of people who desire to be able to move in the power of God without his heart. People fail to understand that when Jesus, when miracles happened, didn't just miracle people, just the miracle people. Because when Jesus had compassion, heaven opened. There could be countless people probably Jesus didn't bother with. But when he had compassion on that person, heaven opened. So we have a culture of people who are chasing signs and wonders. When the next person comes, oh, I'm going to go to this. Oh, I'm going to go to this. And because they want what they have. But yet do not have the heart or foundation to receive it. Because I do believe that we are in the preparation stages of a great revival, of a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to be totally different from anything that we have ever seen before. But before the real comes, y'all know what happens. Before the real thing comes, the counterfeit shows up. What does the word say? Beware of false prophets among you. People being blown to and fro from every wind of doctrine. People will run to the thing that makes them feel good, but not for the thing that's for their good. But yet they see the pastor praying a minute, I want to do what they do. But rather than be steeped in the anointing, rather than let the process do what the process needs to do, they will pay money, they will do whatever it takes to get what they want, but they don't have the heart of God and it's tainted. Amen. A glory carrier understands the significance of the Holy Spirit. See, people don't like me. Because I'm the first one to go, the Holy Ghost ain't spooky. Look, I can't take credit for that one. That's from the late Dr. Gertrude Stacks. The Holy Ghost ain't spooky. That the Holy Spirit, see, I'm a 90s kid. I grew up on Dragon Ball Z. And, you know, he would do like, it's called the Kamehameha. He was just doing all this. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. Because the same Holy Spirit that does miracle signs and wonders, also the same Holy Spirit that says, you don't do that, keep your mouth shut. I don't know why you just thought that. You need to hit the altar. The same one. But people hear about the Goku Holy Spirit, but not the governor Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a governor and a generator. It empowers you, but it also gives you what? Self-control. But we are dealing with a generation that sees the power, but they don't want the governance. See, Simon's thing was, he saw the power. He saw him a good gimmick. He saw him some good money. So rather than using the governance of God, understanding the holiness that comes with being a carrier of the Holy Spirit, he said, let me write this check. If you give me this check, I get the Holy Ghost. We got people who do this now in 2024. If you take my 10-week course, you won't catch the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, I can get it for free in my kitchen. I can get it for free in my car. I remember back in the day, you're like, what do you mean back in the day? Look, I'm 36, I can say back in the day now. I remember back in the day when they had tarrying service. Y'all remember tarrying service? You at the altar and all the mothers of the church forget to bring mints. And they're talking about, say, Jesus, come on, Jesus, come on, let it out, out your belly. Call up. Y'all know y'all remember tearing in service. But instead of dealing with all that carbon dioxide in my face, it's a gift. Simon thought it was a product. It was that infomercial thing that if you pay $19.99 for shipping and handling, you too can get whatever they got. Because when you chase, hear this, when you chase the power of God without the nature of God, that is witchcraft. See, they don't preach like this no more. They don't. It's witchcraft. It's divination. The difference between prophecy and clairvoyance, that clairvoyance can speak into your past and your present, but the prophetic aligns you to propel you into a God-ordained future. Because if you look at the Old Testament, when they didn't want to hear from the prophet, they wanted to hear some good, who they call? The soothsayers. We have been allowing soothsayers to run churches, soothsayers to travel around this country. Because you know, everybody's like, tell me something good. But sometimes telling you something good is, you need to repent. You need to hit the altar. Yeah. Woo! Okay. I gotta be good. But people run. Their ears are seduced. They're tickled because they're saying, oh, this is good. This is good. So you pack out the house because this is good. This is good. But the minute you say, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has wounded us. He has torn us to pieces. He has injured. Today, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the days of Meribah. He wasn't talking to the unbeliever, he was talking to us. The minute someone says something they don't like, it's a whole ordeal. I'm gonna leave this church. But because your spirit got offended. My friend, the late Pastor Jerry Roth, said, if it offends you, it's for you. Because the word is designed to prick the heart. Because the heart is our nature. So people don't want their hearts dealt with. Because if you deal with the heart, they have to change. A glory chaser wants all the power without the obligation. A glory carrier understands that the Holy Spirit is a gift that is meant to be treasured and stewarded. And we are called to go from glory to glory to glory. I ain't got to pay for it. I ain't got to sit here and get psychoanalyzed about it. All I got to do is pray and seek his face. Keep flowing and functioning what he's called you to do. Be responsible in what he's called you to do. And you higher and higher. So let's talk about what it means to be a glory carrier. 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 17 says this. I'm going to read it for y'all, but if you want to take your notes, 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 17. We praise God for water. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm reading from the Christian Standard. It says this, According to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one is to be careful on how he builds on it. For no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious. For the day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Don't you yourself know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is what? Holy. And that is what you are. Someone who carries the glory, glory of God, understands the significance of the foundation of Jesus Christ and the sacredness of their own lives. A glory carrier understands that they are a Christian 24/7, 365. They are committed to the cause of Christ. And every decision, every action that they do, the goal is for it to be for the cause of Christ. And here's the thing. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yes, we falter. Yes, we fall. But our heart says, get it right. When adversity comes, they are able to withstand fire, but also understand the after effects of the inhabitant of the house. When God builds the house, he builds it to withstand testing. It might be hard. Them bricks might get hot. Some stuff might get a little singed. But it's still there. You can tell when someone really is walking with God, when adversity happens. Do they run to God? Or do they pull a Peter while Jesus is getting crucified and cuss him out? People look at me be like, Castle, with all the stuff you've been through in your life, how is it that you still have faith? How is it that you're able, that, you know, the first thing you do is rather than get mad, you begin to pray, you begin to praise and worship God. Everybody else freaking out, you're going, I'm going to need you to calm down because God is good. Yeah. And like, how can you do that? Because I understand that this testing is designed to strengthen me. Because God is preparing. There's a song from Wilmington Chester Mass Choir, Derek Coley. He's preparing me for something I can't handle right now. God's getting me ready because he cares. He's providing me with what I need to carry out every matter in my life. That's what testing does. He's preparing me. The struggle, he's preparing me for something that if I try to step into it in this moment, it's going to kill me. But if I stay in the preparation, he is going to pull me through. What would have been a tiger would become a fly. Be unbothered. We'd just be unbothered. Oh, go away. Because we understand that God has us. God has us. And here's the thing. And I need to remind people of this. Not everything is the devil. Part of the reason why you might be going through what you're going through, you're trying to curse this thing, is because God's doing it. Purification does not just have to be at the altar. Purification might be him, I will shake everything up, and what remains will be of me. Because he's preparing you. He's preparing you. Let me tell you something. The stuff I've had to deal with over the past year, most pastors would have quit. Well, we're going to close the doors. It's been a good run. And I'm going to find something to do. Instead, I kept going until God said, all right, I need you to rest. I was going hard for 6 years. But in the resting, God spoke. And God keeps setting me up to where I can't run from what he's calling me to do. Right, he'll be like you want to go, nope, go that way. Nope, go that way. Mm-mm. People, don't you have free will? But I've learned that God's will is what I want, so I'm not going to test him on this one. Just go where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. I will be your servant and you will be my God. I ain't trying to fight with you. You scary. I ain't doing that. Because the testing, I was fire tested. So that way, when the next comes, and I believe it's coming real quick, my best friend Monday said, hey, the Holy Spirit is telling me you need to shave your head. I'm like, I've been thinking about it. He's like, remember, every time you change your hair up majorly, it means there's a shift. Valid. Okay, so that's what I did this morning. Because I understand I'd rather be in God's will and make everybody else mad than make everybody else happy. But I got to deal with the wrath of God. I ain't going to the woodshed for nobody. Amen? I'm not going to that woodshed. I ain't doing it. Let's go back to, so we're going to talk about how the encounter with God changes you to change others. So first we have to be fire tested. Then the encounter of God changes you to change others. I ain't got to read these scriptures. Y'all know these scriptures. Acts 2, 1 through 4 and Romans 12, 1 through 2. Acts 2 is when the Holy Spirit showed up. Tongues of fire. Empowered them to go to fulfill the Great Commission. Romans 12 says, listen, don't be doing it. Don't y'all know this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Every time you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, it is supposed to make you different. I told my church, I'm having no more fruitless altars. What do you mean? I'm not going to pray for you so you can take a nap. Yes, I said it. I'll say with my whole chest. I ain't sitting here laying hands on you, so that way you can do a trust fall and take a nap. I'm not going to sit here and labor on you, and all you're going to do is get up and do what you just did, because that is squandering the power of the Holy Spirit. Because miracles, impartation. It's a two-way street. Faith has to connect with faith. And when my faith and your faith connect, baby, I'm not going to sit here and make up a word for you. Somebody got mad at me. I think I talked about this. No, I didn't talk about this last time. A lady got mad at me. I was ministering at a church. And the whole church came up for prayer. And I'm praying for people and stuff. If I had a word for you, you got the word. If I didn't have a word, I just prayed, keep going. Pray, keep going. Lady walked up to me at the end of service. Pastor, why didn't you have a word for me? Because I didn't have a word for you. I ain't going to try to sit here and make something up. I ain't getting smoked. Yes, we're living in a time of grace, but God still like to smite folk. I ain't getting smoke for you. I'm like, if I have a word for you, I'll have a word for you. But I'm not just going to pull up something from the back of my head and make you feel good. Wow. Amen. But when you have an encounter with God, you're supposed to be changed. Even from the moment of salvation to the moment he calls you home. We are called to go from what? Glory to glory. So that means as you get a deeper encounter with God, it's supposed to change everything that you are. Here's the thing I've learned. I could not be in the role in the office that I'm in now if I did not have several encounters with God. Because the old me had some things that he needed to deal with that could not be brought into this season. And the thing is, it doesn't just change your spiritual life, it changes the life around you. And I tell people this, the same offices that you flow in the spirit will also link up in the natural. That's why apostolic and prophetic people tend to not be in the church. But they're the people who are running businesses. They're the people who, you got a multi-department department, they're overseeing, they're administrating. They're the people who are advising other people. Why are they in the church? Because we don't know how to handle them. Because to walk in the prophetic office, not the anointing, we can all prophesy if God gives us, tells us to prophesy, right? But to walk in the office of a prophet is dangerous because if you look at Old Testament rules, if you get it wrong, you're dead. I'm going to say that again. If you get it wrong, you're dead. We'll be in the New Testament, but the Old Testament sets the foundation for the new. Being in the prophetic office is isolating. It is difficult. You're just going to be weird. Trust me, I know. But you understand that there is a deeper well that you have to pull from. Even in the apostolic, to be able to go in people's churches and provide encouragement, sometimes correction, to provide support. You can't just be if any Joe Schmo in the street. You have to be able to walk into the house of God and people know the authority that you carry and be able to carry that authority responsibly. Why am I talking about this? Because for you to progress, for you to move forward in your walk with God, it's going to require encounter. And it might not be just one. Because I'm talking about how to carry the glory, because the thing is, those encounters expand the vessel. Y'all heard the story of the potter's wheel? He starts working on the pot, it's like, I'm good where I am. It gets thrown out, but the potter keeps working with the pot and expanding it. That's us. We're on that wheel. And a vessel is only required to hold so much. But when God requires more of you, he's going to stretch. He's going to pull and mold you. But that's when you're having a direct interaction with him. But it changes you to change other people. We are not called to be spiritually obese. You're probably going to laugh when I say this. Isn't our hearts full on today from the word? And then I'm sitting here going, okay, what you going to do with it? Because I can say it I will freely tell y'all, I am a fluffy American. I'm big. I'm getting smaller, praise God. But what I learned is that if I maintain being sedentary, I can't do anything. Eventually, it gets to the point to where you can't move. You're sitting on all those words and on all this, but you're just stuck. Not because you don't have the potential to do it. You have not allowed yourself to grow. There are people who are sitting in churches that have a worldwide callings, but have chosen just sit there and eat. God changes you to change others. So once I get that word, I need to get up and apply it. Amen. I need to get up and exemplify it. A glory carrier understands that I'm being poured into constantly and there is an overflow. Everybody else gets the overflow. Because when you start pouring, when you start giving from your reserve, well, I'm going to say, you have to get up and use it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Also, it is designed and determined by your fruit. This is familiar scripture, but I'm going to read it. Galatians 5:19-26. Because we only focus on the 22, 23 and go, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Let's look at the before and after. Galatians 5, 19 through 26. This is from the Christian Standard. How am I doing on time? I'm doing good, all right. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envy one another. Notice how it says the fruit singular, not the fruits plural. People don't talk about that. They're like, oh, the fruits of the Spirit. No, the fruit, the end result is all of them. Okay. We'll step on some toes. The end result, how you know that you're moving in the authority and the power and the heart of God. It's not one of them. It's all of them. Well, as Jesus says, you will know them by their fruit, right? I tell my students this, and they look at me like I'm crazy then it hits them. An apple tree grows what? An orange tree grows what? A grapevine grows what? So if oranges appear to be growing from a grapevine, that's a what? Problem. Because the plant is designed to produce a certain fruit. So if you're saying, oh, I'm producing good fruit, but all we're getting is crab apples. We are from the state of Ohio. Y'all have seen a crab apple. They look good in that tree, right? But you better not eat it. Don't eat it. Mess you up. I learned that the hard way. Praise God. So people are looking at these trees. And yes, the fruit might look good on the outside. The rind is the bomb. But when you open it up, have you ever opened up a fruit? Look great. Look amazing on the outside, right? You cut into it and go, a worm lived here. Uh-huh. Went to the store, go, this don't look right. Then you take it home, it was not right. We have, because In this day and this time, we have people who are saying, oh, this is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord said. But the fruit ain't matching. Even in correction, the fruit of the Spirit is all of them. Because when God corrects, it's designed to bring order and bring the person or the church back into alignment with Him. Into righteousness, right standing, right judgment. If someone says that God says something and it causes chaos, question it. God is not the author of confusion. If it's causing confusion, the Lord ain't saying it to you. Zod said that to you. God ain't saying that. Zod said that. Zod. Y'all remember Superman? I am. Yep. Zod them flew down from Krypton and told you that. That was a taco. I had a vision. That was some Taco Bell. Because it does. If it brings chaos, it is not of God. Watch. I'm telling you. People don't talk about this stuff. Oh God. No. If it's not. If it says it's of God and it does not bring peace, question it. So everything we do as believers is supposed to nurture, empower, and grow those around us. Those around us should be adding value to their lives. Believer or non-believer, people around us should be able to say that they have grown from being in your presence.
Sometimes the best witness is not you hooping and hollering at a person. Sometimes the best witness is just live your life. That's all I do. I just live my life. And look, when I grew up, my late bishop, Bishop Donna Rice, she was about them streets. There used to be this neighborhood called Greenbrier. You remember Greenbrier, Uzialli, and all that stuff? We used to go to Greenbrier, one of the roughest neighborhoods in Columbus. It's now a high school. They mowed that thing down quickly. And we used to go in the center courtyard, and we would do something called an open air extravaganza. The choir sang, the dance team danced, gave away clothes, and I watched this woman grab a mic and just go. And there's other pastors that started doing it when they saw us doing it. But what made us effective was that people said, y'all real. Because while she was preaching, we were praying for them while we were giving them clothes. We were treating them with love and kindness. Anybody yelling up, talking about, like, we lived it. What's made me so effective at my job is no skill of mine. It's because I live what I preach about. I'm not running around like, y'all need to get saved. This is me. You all right? What's going on? Mm-hmm. What do you need from me? Or, Green, I royally screwed up. Okay. What happened? All right. Come here. What? People, I've built some tight relationships. People just call me, hey, something happened. Okay. Why aren't you mad? What's done is done. What's me getting mad going to do about it? What me sitting here judging? First of all, I'm the last one to be judging anybody. I'm the last. Like Paul said, what? I am the chief of sinners. I'm the last one that should put judgment on anybody because I have to be judged by the same measure. How are we going to fix this? One of my work daughters, she graduated, praise God. She had divulged to me that she was pregnant before she told her parents. And I said to her, when she came to my office, she was scared to tell me. So she came to my office and I said, hey daughter, what's up? She's like, Grant, I'm pregnant. And I said, okay. What do you need from me? And she looked like, what? What do you need from me? I figured you're just going to yell at me. What's done is done. It's in there now, so I can't do anything about it. What do you need from me? How do you need me to step in and be that dad that you need right now? And we talked. Sadly, she ended up miscarrying, but we started reminiscing right before she graduated. She's like, I knew that you were for real when I walked to your office and told you that I was pregnant. You didn't yell at me. You didn't judge me. You didn't cuss me out. You just said, what do you need? What do you need? I've had grown men come into my office bawling, grown like my age. Bawling. One guy said, Green, I'm a Christian, but I don't know what to do. My response was, well, you need to do this with me. Close that door. Can I pray for you? And we prayed. Because I want to give good fruit. I want to give good fruit. That good fruit that is still rooted and grounded in Scripture, but understands how scandalous grace is. Grace is scandalous. Grace doesn't make sense. Mercy doesn't make sense either. But I want to, especially in the areas of ministry that God's called me to be in, God's called me to be able to extend grace and mercy. but not give you permission to sin, to give you the strength not to. Because grace is not designed to be a get out of jail free card. It is the power to not sin. Because you desire a deeper relationship with God. It's determined by your fruit. Then ultimately we are growing to carry the glory of God. So we're going to jump back to where we started. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 5 through 10. So we're going to continue where we left off in that scripture. Y'all still with me?
Love it.
2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. We're jumping back to the New King James on this one. Starting from verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Let's read verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make your calling and election sure. Amen. Amen. Who's your foundation? What is the root of that tree? Who is forming and shaping you? Whose encounter? Who do you need to sit at the table with? To receive what you need, to be able to carry the glory of God. I love these type of messages. I love these type of messages. Because if nothing else, it's a reminder of what we're called to do. One thing I am going to tell you is this. Just as the spirits of the air, just as the demonic hosts are rising up, so is the Holy Spirit. Because people need to see the power of God demonstrated. Amen. People need to see the power of God demonstrated. Not just talking about it like it was a story. People need to see the blind seeing, the dead raised, the lame walking, those who are mute talking, demons being cast out, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit in action. Amen. In a way that is not destructive. But that requires an understanding of the treasure, the gift that is the Holy Spirit. All of the, speaking in tongues, prophecy, discernment, that is, I call it the after effects. But the Holy Spirit, we got to treasure it. We have to treasure it. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, I feel like you're about to do something big up in this place. Lord, as we sit and we receive in this moment, God, I pray that you begin to pour out your Spirit pour it out like oil from the crown of our head, ruining our garments, dripping to the soles of our feet. Lord God, I pray that you empower us to be able to fulfill what you have called us to fulfill. I come against the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, your word said you have not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Show us how to love so we may be responsible users of your power, so that we know when to move and when to stay. Lord God, we're not just asking for the fire of the Spirit, but also the pneuma, the wind of God. Just as you breathed on Adam, breathe on us again. Just like you breathed, the first impartation of the Spirit was by breathing. Breathe on us like you breathed on the 72. And let your air become our air. Because our heart is for you. God, I pray for the revival that's about to hit Nelsonville. I pray that you prepare us to be able to steward what you have called for us to do. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Thank you, Jesus. I really have a feeling. I'm telling you. I really have a feeling that what you thought was going to be a climb is going to be a roller coaster. We're doing March Gladness right now. I know I'm only the second speaker. But what you thought was going to be a fight is going to be a roller coaster. Because your heart is open for God to do what he desires to do.